It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, you know, archery elk season is just around the corner. It's about to open up in many of the Rocky Mountain states. And I thought it'd be time to talk a little elk hunting, more particularly maybe a little elk calling, with Mr. Don Labaugh. Now, Don owns, started a company called Elk Incorporated, and Don made the first cow call, elk cow call back years ago. Nobody better to talk to about calling elk, trust me, than Mr. Don here. Don, are you with us today, sir?
Yes, I am.
I want to talk to you about calling in a, I always say a big old bull elk. Let's just say a bull elk. They're not all great big ones, but first off, the cow call that you offer, you know, through your company, Elk Incorporated, that was the first commercial, I think the first commercial elk call that, I know about.
I brought it out 31 years ago, and Gordon Eastman got a hold of me and wanted to do a film on calling elk, and when I said, yeah, I'll help you, so we went out and called a bunch of elk in and used a cow call. And he says, you got to let the rest of the world know about this. Well, I had taken 12 to 13 elk with my bow, and I said, Gordon, I said, this is like a favorite fishing hole. I'm not going to tell anybody.
Yeah.
And so he conned me into setting up a company, and that was 31 years ago, and we made several films on calling elk, and then I've written 6 books on different types of calling, because once I got into building game calls, and I started going for everything. You know, I went for the deer, the elk, the antelope, coyotes, and wolves, you know, so it's been a long process, but that's what we're doing now. And calling elk is really, it's a little bit of an art, but our calls are easy to manipulate. Years ago, when you used a cow call, you could just about do anything. But now that there's so many cow calls out on the market, you have to be have a little more finesse in it. And I think probably one of the biggest things that the guys are doing are maybe blowing their cow calls just a little bit too loud.
Too loud, because when you listen to cows out in the mountains, they're not real loud. That's for sure.
Right. And,
yeah.
And you know, and we have they're so easy to use that we have a tendency then to blow them because we think the elk can't hear them. And I have found that, you know, I've called elk in from 700-800 yards with just a real soft cow call. So I highly recommend guys using, and don't overdo it. Use a soft cow sound, and don't blow it quite so often. Let the curiosity be there for the elk to come in.
You know, Don, I think that's true in calling anything from ducks to elk. You know, that's true. Well, let's think about the when people think now. Most people think about calling elk. They think about the bull, using the bull call there,
right.
The bugle. And I'll tell you, we hunt up north of Steamboat Springs every September. We have 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks of elk hunting up there. And the Elk Incorporated call is what, and this is just from personal experience, and I truly, even though we are up there every year and have been for probably the last 7 years, I don't consider myself an elk expert. I'm a flatlander that gets to be in elk country about 3 weeks every year.
Yeah,
but
well,
the ranch, there's so many elk up there, Don. It's a private ranch we hunt.
Sure.
And but the Elk Incorporated calls, the bugles.
The power bugle is the one you're referring
the
to.
The power bugle, yes. Right. Most of the guys are using that, and it is. It's relatively easy to work, but with any, what we will call a mechanical gizmo, there's some tricks and things that if you know that makes it work better. Let's think about the power bugle and then the royal call.
Royal bugle, right.
Yeah, the royal bugle.
Yeah, now, the royal bugle, I brought it out later. And due to just some of the finer things of how the band is protected and so forth. But the thing about the Power Bugle or the Royal Bugle, the bands that we use, and that's the only thing that moves in these calls, mm-hmm. is just the band. And then the band creates the sound. Latex is by far makes the best sound for imitating any animal. So that's what we're using is latex bands.
There's no question about that. Now, let's the Power Bugle, of course, it's an award-winning
right.
National competitions are won all the time with it and have been.
Right.
Anybody knows about elk hunting, serious elk hunters know about the Power Bugle. I think most people do. The Royal Bugle.
It's a newer bugle.
Yeah. Can you talk about for instance, a person that is it more easy? Or I know the Power Bugle is extremely easy, but is it a little bit more user-friendly maybe in the beginning for a novice elk hunter, would you
right.
think?
Well, see, and here's the thing now about those bugles. We have three different types of bands. We have a black band, which is the very thinnest, and we have a gray band, which is the intermediate, and then we have a white band that's the heaviest. Now, for guys that are starting out, when I designed these calls many, many years back, I tried to get the thinnest band I could possibly get on the call because that would make it a lot easier. I don't have to blow so hard. I can get all kinds of good sounds. And even with a black band, you can still, you know, you can even do kind of a semi-cow call on the bugle. So it's really important that I thought, well, the black band is what I like to use. And when you're hunting in the beginning of the season, the elk primarily are just doing high pitch, and they're doing cow sounds. You hear cow sounds because they're trying to locate the cows. After you get into the full rut, then or in the middle of the rut, then you start doing a few grunts. And one thing I can highly recommend to guys that are wanting to learn how to call these elk, whatever bugle you have, I found it very important that if you have a cow or a bull answering your bugle, try to imitate him. Don't try to be anything different than what he is.
Very good tip. I will say this, too, and this is from past experience. There is absolutely no worse feeling in the world than to be out away from camp, good ways out, and your elk call go kaput on you.
Right.
The Elk Incorporated have never done that, but I'm going to tell you, and anybody that's been in my shoes can relate, if you're out there and then all of a sudden, for some reason, that call doesn't work, well, it's like you say, the only moving part is a latex band
right.
on yours. And I'm going to tell you, that is extremely important. If something, say, a reed messes up or whatever, and you're out of business, well, then you're literally out of business, aren't you? I mean,
yeah,
you have to have a dependable call.
Right, and the thing about it is, and it's really understandable, you know, I think even us pros, that we call ourselves pros, but when you get into that particular scenario where you got that animal and he's coming in and you're trying to do the right thing, and you get a little bit of anxiety and you don't do the way you would do the call if you were, say, sitting at home practicing.
Yes, yes.
So you kind of choke up a little bit. But after you've done it a little bit and you've called in quite a few bulls, that kind of goes away from it because then you understand what you got to do on the call.
Exactly. And, you know, Don, I would like you to be back with us next week if you would. There's just not enough time in one of these segments to cover a fraction of what I would like the information I'd like you to get out to all of our elk hunting listeners, and we have a bunch of them that hunt elk up in the mountains, even though we're mostly listened to in Texas and, you know, in the that part of the world. But can you get back with us next week and let's talk some more elk calling?
Luke, you know, I don't have any problem with that. I enjoy talking elk, telling people, you know, and I really stress more that the younger people that are getting into it, one of the problems that we have in the U.S., is that most of all of our elk hunting now is on a tag that you got to draw for. So it kind of eliminates a lot of the young people having the opportunity to go out and hunt elk, but they can still learn how to practice, so when they do that tag, they can get out there.
That's
and, you know, you were saying you would like to try the Royal Bugle. Now, I'll tell you, the Royal Bugle is designed primarily for the younger people and for the women, because you don't have to blow so hard on these calls to get the sound out. And, boy, once they pick it up, they become excellent callers.
Well, next week, let's start off, and let's talk a little bit more about the Royal Bugle. And
right.
I would like to, for people that you have, folks, Don has some awesome videos. I've watched most of them, and books, too, but elkinc.com, Don, is your website, right?
Right.
ELK, www.elkinc.com. Go there, and if you're like me and you hunt elk once a year, and that's about 3 weeks out of the year, you can learn a great deal. And we will get Don back with us next week in this segment, and we'll talk some more elk hunting.
That'll be great, Luke. We'll talk to you later on then.
Well, it's definitely the time of year, folks, to start thinking about archery hunting elk, and the season opens there just the very end of this month up in Colorado. We're going to be heading up there in about 2.5 weeks, I think, getting our camp set up. We lease a ranch up there north of Steamboat Springs, not too far from the Wyoming border, probably about 30 miles from the border, but there's a mountain called Sleeping Giant on this ranch that we lease, and it's just a game magnet. I mean, there's always lots of elk and a lot of bear up there, too. You've probably heard us talking about it in the years past, but we've got several hunters, actually 12 different hunters, for two hunts up there this year going up with us, and we're looking forward to that. You know, I want to remind everyone the Texas Trophy Hunter Show is underway right now in Fort Worth at the Fort Worth Convention Center. And you need to know that it will be at the Fort Worth Convention Center this year instead of the Will Rogers Coliseum over there where it's been held for years and years. I keep reminding my old buddies, don't show up over at Will Rogers. There's a new place, and it's the Fort Worth Convention Center. But I'm going to be there actually with the Plano Golf Cart booth. Ken Blackstock owns Plano Golf Carts. He's a good friend of mine, and I'm going to be in his booth, and I have my copies of my book, Kill to Grill, The Ultimate Guide to Hog Hunting and Cooking, you know. Stop by. You don't have to buy a book, definitely. Just stop by and say hello. You can find Plano Golf Carts booth just real easily there. I'm not sure exactly which booth it is, but you can get a, you know, ask one of the folks, or just get you a little layout there. They hand those out, and find Plano Golf Carts. Come by and say hello. You'll enjoy visiting with Ken. He's a character, and he builds an awesome off-road electric vehicle, too. He takes an easy-go golf cart and soups it up, you might say, puts a 10-horse motor on it and a heavy-duty controller, and that's the ones that we use. I've told you a lot about them in the past. We use those up in Colorado. So that's coming up. Here's a quick tip for you for bringing in hogs and deer. You know, all animals, wild and domestic, have to have minerals and salt. Take a post-hole digger in a spot that you know that deer or hogs are coming, and bury a mineral block in the ground. You can bury just a salt block, and what happens, it dissolves, but then, you know, the animals just keep coming back and licking the ground. Thus, you're making a salt lick or a mineral lick in a sense there. So pretty effective way to bring them in, and you don't have to keep baiting every day. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.